Welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. Buckle up for some large explosions and some great nerd talk. Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 3 of the Analog Assault Podcast. My name is Lupa to the Rescue, and I'm filling in for Mulehorn117 as your main host for the evening. I am joined by my esteemed co-host, Radical618.
Hello.
Thaddeus Prime.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Scarecrow21. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Doing so well.
Oh, Rad, well, I know you're doing good. Yeah.
I'm doing so good, man. Like 17 times over. Let me just tell you.
Whoa.
It is.
That's a lot for one day.
No, it's.
There's some moisture in the air. It's pretty exciting.
It's a pretty exciting day on the blue side of gaming.
Yeah. Well said.
So before we get into this week's topics, we'll quickly run down the things we've been playing for the week, or playing and watching, I guess, you know. So we'll start with Miss Radical. You are, quote unquote, on the clock.
On the clock with no buzz in sight. So I'm just going to take my sweet time.
2 minutes.
So still a lot of Mass Effect. I've definitely taken Mass Effect 2 a lot slower than Mass Effect 1. I think that just like the shininess of Mass Effect 1 and all the changes they made was like super interesting. But then like Mass Effect 2, I kind of slowed down. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm working through my loyalty missions. I did Lair of the Shadow Broker, so me and Liara are tight. It's been good. That's been a lot of fun. I did, we will talk about it a little bit later, but we did run VOG over the weekend. So Vaults of Glass was very interesting and fun. And I only wanted to kick Crow off of the side of a building once, which was good. Just kidding, Crow, I love you. And you probably wanted to kick me off a building. It's fine. And I did play a little bit of Apex in the last week. I did hop back into Apex. My very good friend and friend of Mulehorn Gaming, Volcasmic, her and I had a very nice duo win today. It felt really, really good. So that's pretty much what I've been playing. I have not really watched much of anything, but I am a longtime Handmaid's Tale fan. And Yvonne Strahovski is in that. And Yvonne Strahovski is also... portrays Miranda Lawson and she is absolutely phenomenal in that show, and I am seeing things from this current season that's airing that I am loving, so I'll probably watch that once the fourth season ends, and I'll just kind of pick up where I left off and finish the fourth season. So but other than that, I think I'm done.
Right on. No sports.
I'm always watching sports. I was done, and Lupo just given. Tampa Bay Lightning have moved on to the second round of the playoffs. My husband's team is the Penguins, who's they were recently beaten by the Islanders. So congratulations to Lupo. And then the Rays, they did finally end their winning streak at 11 games. They got beat by the Royals a couple days ago, but now they're back to two games in a row. So a new streak begins in Tampa Bay. And that's all. Now I'm actually finished. So I'm gonna popcorn it over to Crow. What you got going on, man?
Oh boy, I guess we'll start off. What did I play? I've been playing my regulars. Been playing a bit of Genshin. I'm kind of slowing back on that. There's not a whole lot of content on that right now, but they are doing their 1.6 reveal this weekend, which I feel like that was really fast. Like I feel like I just did 1.5, but. Anyway, going to be showing off that this weekend. Been playing some more PSO2, just trying to kind of get some stuff grinded out before NGS comes out. They're predicting, and I've talked about this with some other people, like they've said June, and they actually did a live stream this week, but they still didn't give us a full release date. I'm guessing the week of E3, because E3 is going to be from like the 12th, I think, the 18th, 12th through the 18th,
and then do the whole thing like it's available on
Tuesday. I think they might could do like, hey, here's a trailer, it's available now or tomorrow, But then a lot of people in my alliance are being like, oh, we think it's going to be June 8th. I'm like, hey, if it's that soon, then better for me. Other than that, I actually re-downloaded ESO on PC.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Okay.
I really want to play it. I logged into my account on there, and I realized, boy, I was way behind when I did my account transfer back in the day. It's been a long time. My character was level 39.
So it basically like segmented your character. Like it basically just made a copy and put you were able to like transfer that over to Xbox and then further progress from there.
Yep.
Rather than like completely take the save and remove it from there and put it on Xbox.
Correct. Yeah.
So they did the same thing with Warframe when that came to Switch too. So like if you were on PC, you could take your PC info and put that on Switch. So I think that's definitely cool. Like, you know, the making things easier is like we'll get into it later. I will talk about Borderlands.
Other than that, I started watching a new anime called Kimono Jinhin or something like that.
Sounds good.
Really
interesting.
Really weird. Yeah. Really weird start. I was like, oh, it's going to be this small, quiet town about this kid who's like popular with his friends and his mom runs an inn. No, that kid's the little bitch ass kid. The actual main character is this kid that they call, the basic translation for his name, I think, is Mud Puddle. The kanji for his name is Mud Puddle. It's turns out he's like a half demon, or half like, not demon, but like more like a Japanese mythical like creature, like fey creature. And pretty good so far. And then also, I started watching Westworld for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay. Love it. Yeah, I got through episode 9 already.
Wow.
I did a lot of just binging that yesterday. Really enjoying it. I heard like what kind of goes on from people just over the years when it was actually airing. But enjoying it so far. And it's pretty interesting.
Heck yeah.
And then obviously Destiny bought the glass running. And very interested to do more of that. But that's about it for me. If you want to throw it over to Thaddeus.
I'll pick it back up. I'm gonna start off with what I was watching. I wrapped up finally the latest season of Castlevania, because last time we talked, I mentioned it. I thought I was going to finish it. Apparently, I was an episode and a half off. And wow, it was really good. I really like how they ended it, how they left it open for more things to happen. Really, really good. The fight scenes were so dang good. So dang good.
I'm glad you brought it up because like I feel like the fight scenes were good in the previous season, but this, like, they just pulled out all the stops. Yeah. And like even like the first two episodes, you're like, holy crap. Like that was just so fluid and like just over the top, and it was awesome.
The whole first episode's like a fight scene.
Yep.
I love Belmont's character translates the whole, even to the very ending, not really ending. He's just a suave smartass. I love it. Also watched the complete second season of Love, Death Plus Robots.
Oh, on Netflix. Death and Robots. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little 15, 20 minute shorts. And it reminds me of a animated version of Black Mirror in a sense.
Yeah.
And most of those are pretty good as well. Some are very entertaining. Some are like, okay, cool. But I love the makes you think concept just like Black Mirror does. So really appreciated that. Game wise, finished up Mass Effect 1. Poured it over to Mass Effect 2 and started at level 55. I was like, what? Okay. I got a big bonus for porting over a level 55 character, even though my character was not level 55. I'm like, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, because it scaled off what you finished at. So if you finished at like 25 or 30, that's technically 55 because the original game went up to 60. And you can never get there. So they scaled it back and made it to 30 in the new iteration.
Gotcha.
Okay. So 30 is 60, and I guess 27 would be 55, something like that.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Okay, so I never knew that. So if you ported your like save data, mm-hmm. or you had save data for the previous game, the next game you would start at a higher level.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like you didn't always get the levels, but like you got a lot of like bonus unlocks and stuff like that, like certain things for progression and like an extra talents and mm-hmm. stuff. So.
Okay.
Yeah, XP boost. Yeah,
definitely worthwhile doing the whole thing.
And you start with like a boost to your Paragon or Renegade or whatever. Yep. So,
oh, that was great.
Extra important in Aspect 2, in my opinion.
Yes. Because I was able to use my Paragon dialogue out the gate. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And getting to use all those DLC items already after, you know, completing a few missions was awesome. Once again, loving Mass Effect 2, what's going on. And let's see. That's all I've been doing game-wise. I might play a different game tonight after a little something to talk about, maybe, but I'm still really jonesing to finish more Mass Effect, so we'll see.
Sure. I feel that completely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lupo.
So I guess I'm last, you know, I'll be the anchor here. So playing wise, I've actually been playing a lot of different things. You know, still continuing my Mass Effect playthrough. I have not gotten into Vermeier yet. I've kind of been doing it a little bit slower because Destiny took a lot of my time last week, just getting preparing myself for the raid, which is a lot of fun. It was nice to see some new mechanics added rather than just say, you know, we're just going to copy pasta right into the new game. I think that just would have been really uninspired. So I'm glad some things were changed, you know, as much as tough as they were at contest mode. You know, the last time we did contest for Garden of Salvation, I told myself we'd never do it again. Yeah. But we did against my better judgment. But we didn't beat our heads against the wall. Like, you know, we got to a point where we said we just can't do this, you know, and we stopped and continued the next day after it was a little bit easier, which was the right way to do it. You know, not sit in a chair for 14 hours straight and not get anywhere, you know. So I think that was the smart move, and I enjoyed it. And then we brought Matt Mann in, and he was like, "How'd you guys get to do this so fast?" So we're like, "Man, we just did this for a couple hours the night before. You know, it didn't work out. We came in, we figured out the strategies, did it fast, and then brought you in and did it even faster." So it's nice. Like I just love that whole like the Destiny raid scene. So I'm glad to see it really thriving with Vault of Glass and see people come back and want to jump into that.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Nice.
I have also been playing a whole lot of Apex. Like, I don't know what it is about the season or what it is about my mindset, but it's just something that I can easily, like, have 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I can just drop into a couple matches, get my juices flowing, and then move on to what I, you know, something else, or just get lost for the rest of the night, like, lose, like, a couple hours of sleep because I just want to get one more rank on my battle pass, or, you know, get to the next account rank. So that's just been my last couple of days, just really
multiple sinking times a lot of time this week. Apex. I've been like, "Oh, hey, what's Lupo doing?" "Oh, he's playing Apex."
Yeah, Apex. Like, usually it's like the first thing I do when I get home. Like, I'll just like, "Oh, let me get my couple drops in, see if I can do one of like the daily challenges." We usually like play two matches as a character, so I just do that real quick, and then I find myself playing for a couple of hours, and it's been fun. And then this week, Biomutant launched, a game by Experiment 101 and THQ Nordic. Pretty interesting game. Like, I've been looking at it for a while. It was announced like a long time ago, and I think a lot of people
3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think 2018 was the first time we ever saw footage of Biomutant and kind of up and down the radar. You know, like so like 2019, when I went to PAX East, they were showing it there, you know, so like that's how long ago this was being seen. So mixed reviews from some people. Yeah. So I kind of watched some videos and I was like, the combat looks pretty good, let me check it out. And I went for a flyer on it, but I haven't put a whole lot of time into it, maybe like three hours or so. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, I think, because it's kind of what Mule wanted to talk about. But first, before we get into anything else, we did want to mention that we will have a special guest on our show next week.
That's right.
We'll have the man, the myth, the legend, Ben Irving, former producer for BioWare, current producer, I believe, for Crystal Dynamics. So he'll be joining us next week on the podcast for episode 4. And we're going to talk live service. And just game industry stuff in general. Like, I know Ben's a huge fan of MMOs, and it's really he's really insightful with a lot of the things he talks about. So definitely looking forward to picking his brain in a first person perspective. Like, I've listened to him on a bunch of other podcasts, so it's gonna be awesome to have him on here next week.
Thank you. So sure. I shouldn't bother him about like Tomb Raider. You know, I shouldn't. I'm just kidding. I won't do that.
We've been told that we're not going to ask about the projects that he's working on.
Okay.
So, I mean, if that changes between now and next Thursday, that's a whole different story. Ooh. If you want to fangirl about the Tomb Raider, I'm sure he will take notes.
For sure. Maybe I'll just be like, hey, you know who I love? Lara Croft. How do you feel about that?
Just kidding. Casual.
I use my counselor skills on him, you know?
There you go.
Like, I don't know. Like, when
I wouldn't do that to somebody unless I was supposed to.
When Avengers was launching, he was doing a lot of, like, you know, retweeting the developers and stuff like that. So I assume that's what he's working on. But like you said, if you're working in a large studio like Crystal Dynamic, they're working on multiple projects. He could be working on something else and just trying to support his fellow developers. I think that's like the right thing to do. You
of
know?
Course, absolutely.
So yeah. Without further ado, we'll jump into this week's topics. Thaddeus. We had some new footage of a game that you've been pretty excited for, so yes. Why don't you tell us about it?
So today we got a gameplay and dev interview for Dying Light 2. If you're not familiar with what Dying Light is, it's basically a zombie, open world zombie smasher, parkour game. Parkour meaning basically you first person view of kind of what any of the Assassin's Creed characters could do, but you're smashing and shooting zombies. It's in a world similar to The Walking Dead, where everyone's infected, but when you die or get hurt badly enough, you can turn. And it's post-apocalyptic. Everyone's kind of out for themselves. There's multiple factions fighting for dominance and whatnot. We saw some amazing gameplay for the second one. It looks like it's very similar to the first. A lot of things are enhanced. There's more open world abilities, more crazier zombie type monsters, and more ways to really make the open world work for you and experience it in multiple ways. It was about, I forget how long it was, 16 minutes of gameplay, and mixed in with some dev interviews. So you get a good taste of what they're doing and what they're bringing come December 7th. So we have some time before this comes out. We're going to see more episodes of this as well, kind of like what they did with Cyberpunk. They had multiple episodes once a month. I don't know how many times we're going to have them till launch, but there'll be multiple ones. Okay. They also, as of today, dropped the complete Platinum Edition. Is on a ridiculous sale right now, 75% off on all platforms. So it's $25 for every single bit of content for the first game. So if you haven't played
it. Oh, for the first game, okay.
Yeah, for Dying Light 1. Wait,
what?
Yeah, right.
What? They're pre-ordering their game at 75% off?
Pre-order is on sale just for a week. No, the first game, gotcha. Platinum Edition, is $99 for all the content. It's on sale for $25, and I have the base game. I've already downloaded all the free content. I don't know. I'm tempted to maybe just go full 25 and get all the extra stuff that looks pretty awesome. But I don't know. Maybe I will.
$25 is pretty inexpensive mm-hmm. for that much
that
content.
Much,
exactly.
Yeah.
From being honest.
So yeah. If it's your first time, you've never played it, this is an excellent.
I have never played it.
Excellent chance to get in.
I played it because it was, I think, like Games with Gold long time ago.
Back when the early, I'm not even sure if we were Mulehorn Gaming yet. Might have still been Prime Collective. Some of the guys that I played, I think the Rayman and a few others, we went co-op on several hours and hours in this game. And it's a lot of fun. I've always loved zombie games, even some of the cheesier ones. This one was a little more top tier, if you want to consider it a top tier zombie game. Pre-order is available as well.
Yeah.
You get some pretty sweet skins and whatnot. And the Ultimate Edition, the Collector's Edition, has a really awesome statue that has a sort of a black light that you can click on, which is part of the game. I forget to mention as well, is for the game itself, at nighttime, things get crazier. The baddies come out. There's some hunter zombies that
kind of
hunt
has
you down.
Like a 7 days to die vibe at nighttime, but yes. It's like
you get more rewards and stuff for being out there, but yeah. You're at risk to die a lot more. So
the best explanation I can explain this game that I always thought, it's like it's an open world map Left 4 Dead game with kind of some 7 days vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good.
But is it like somewhat of like an RPG where you have your own character and you're building your character a little bit, or is it really more like you're a prefab
you're playing,
character?
You're playing
you're the protagonist.
You're playing. I think he has a name, but like you're always playing that character. And I think like when you're playing co-op, they might just load in as like a random other character, like you see them as someone else. I don't remember. It's been a while.
You have various abilities you can unlock and tons of weapons and customizable weapons as well. I'm sorry, craftable weapons. I think they do degrade, but your ability to craft them over time is very easy. That was Dying Light today. I was super excited. The Platinum Edition of Dying Light 1 is available now, and the release date for this, hopefully nothing gets pushed back, is December 7th. And Mulehorn Gaming tweeted out all the content earlier today, so if you're reading this, or I'm sorry, you listen to this, you can still find it.
Nice.
I get a little more fluid, like State of Decay vibe, you know, like the movement's just much, obviously it's in first person too, so I've been watching this over like the last couple of minutes while we're kind of chatting here, and It looks interesting. Like I hate that I can like watch a trailer and like want to spend money all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
Me today.
It doesn't take much.
Well produced trailer. Thank you.
Yes.
What I do think is interesting too is that the subtitle is new. So it's Dying Light 2 Stay Human, which I think is a really great touch on everything that's happened the last year, because this game was actually supposed to launch last November.
Yep. I was thinking about it when we were talking about it. And I was like, I could have sworn this was supposed to come out later, last year, but it got delayed.
Yeah.
So I think right before the pandemic, or right as the pandemic was happening, they suspended it indefinitely.
Wow.
Because they were just having some development issues and stuff like that, which is completely understandable given the state of the world at the time, you know. But
yeah.
Stay Human is really indicative of feedback and stuff like that, especially with like a lot of volatility and animosity in like the game industry when things like that happen. Like people get really pissed off and take it personally. The developers have to delay stuff, so they just, I think they're sending a message with that and just saying, hey, look, like, stay human, man. Like people make mistakes, you know, we've just got to do right in the world here, you know. So I think it's a nice touch to just put life in perspective that way, you know.
That is a nice touch, and I can definitely appreciate that.
So I think we're going to move on to Crow talking about PSO2. I think we got some updates.
Yeah.
Open
so
a can of Crow.
I want to say it was Tuesday. We had another one of their, like, they call them prologue streams. They're basically just like showcasing like some of the stuff that's going to be in NGS. They kind of started off with just kind of showing some more of the characters. They showed off new areas of the map that we haven't gotten to see. We've seen kind of in trailers, but we haven't seen like what's going to be there. They showed off some more of the enemy types. The biggest meme that's come out of that is Big Frogga. Like, they named an enemy Big Frogga. Out of all like the Japanese style names, it's like, oh yeah, this guy's just named Big Frogga.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty funny.
I like Big Frogger.
Yeah. Then they still have not, like I said earlier, have not put out a release date exactly. But they kind of showed off some campaigns they're going to be leading up to, and some people are speculating off that. But one of the big things that I enjoyed, and I kind of tricked Lupo and Underdog with this week, is right after that stream, they released a bench test, like a separate bench test program, because this game, like, PSO2, for people who don't know, is like, what is it now? A 9-year-old game. It came out in 2012 in Japan. So people are able to run it on a lot older PCs. Like, they haven't done a huge lot of graphics overhaul. So it's, when they, now that they've got this NGS, like, it's modern game. So it's going to be a lot harder for people that are still running older PCs. Most people aren't, but they kind of wanted to just do it anyway. So they released the bench test thing, and also you could actually do a character creator, and that's how I kind of tricked Lupo and Underdog. I did my character creation during it and sent them a screenshot of it. I guess I did send one to Rad as well, but she didn't really understand.
I mean, it was just a lot of skin. Yeah. But I didn't understand really any other way.
But yeah.
Welcome to the way of the weeb.
Yeah, then I figured out today, it's like, oh, after you've done the character creation, you can actually load that character into the whole, like, cutscene thing. And I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. So I need to
That actually is cool.
I need to record that. I can go back in there and probably gonna do a recording just to, like, show off what that looks like. Pretty cool looking. Instead of just seeing, like, the default Ash character. Other than that, they kind of release a roadmap of what they're gonna be showing off. Give me a second, I can pull up. I took a picture of it. Pondering, filling time, trying to remember. Here we go. Okay. So they kind of release a roadmap. The game's gonna be launching officially in June, which is gonna be coming simultaneously with Japan and US. They're gonna be releasing the regular base region and 6 base classes that they've kind of already shown off. And oddly enough, the level cap's only gonna be level 20. Which, for any other PSO players, like, that's low. The current PSO level is 100 on class levels. And just the way that they're simplifying this game, it's going to make it a lot easier. Because in the current one, if you switch classes, you got to level and reacquire all the skill points. In this game, if you acquire a skill point, you unlock that skill point for every class, even if they're unleveled. So as soon as you start leveling a class, you've got all these nice skill points ready to go. So that's going to be interesting. But then, so that's in June. And then July, they're doing, like, the 9th anniversary. I don't know why it's the 9th. That's right. 9th anniversary for Global and Japan. And then in August, which is actually kind of cool, they're releasing the Braver subclass. And for anyone who's played PSO2, that's your weeb class, is what they refer to it as. Get out the katana.
The Braver is the bow on in PSO2, right?
Yeah, bow and katana.
Okay.
Yeah. But then later in the fall, they said August during the stream. I think it was just maybe a mess up with the translation, or they just misspoke. Because the whole thing's translated into English. But they said, at least on the screen, it showed in the fall, they're going to be releasing the Bouncer class, which is my class that I play in PSO2, which I'm really excited, in base PSO2 right now, which I'm really excited about that. And then later on, in the winter, they're going to be adding a whole new region and everything. Like, I thought they were moving pretty well with PSO2 just because they had backlog of content for Global, but just seeing what they're doing with this, I'm kind of surprised that they're rolling out so much content within just this year. Now, winter could mean, like, early next year as well, but I mean, I didn't actually go over all the topics, like, what they're adding as well, but
winter is coming.
But yeah, I'm excited about that. And then I've got some other stuff to talk about, but we'll talk about that once we roll around to Lupo. So if we want to move on.
Rad's got the floor now.
It's me. Yeah.
Yeah, Rad's going to talk about something that's very important and she's super passionate about. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And you
Take
guys.
The floor, please.
Yeah, no problem. You guys can absolutely.
I'll give you the golden conch.
You guys can definitely join in if you have, you know, anything you'd like to add. But for those of you listening to the podcast, one of the things that I'm very passionate about, as Lupo mentioned, is mental health treatment, mental health advocacy, and just mental health information. I believe that my first time on the podcast before I became a regular was as a guest to talk about my experience as a licensed mental health counselor. So yes, outside of Mulehorn Gaming, I do things other than gaming, which is shocking.
What?
But I know. But anyway, so I am a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Florida. And one of the things that I really like about mental health is the role that it has in gaming. Mm-hmm. And not only just like amongst gamers, but also it's becoming more prevalent of a topic in content creation and in gaming itself. I think very notably one of the first games, well, maybe not one of the first, but one of the games that really comes to mind when it in the realm of mental health is, oh my gosh, Hellblade with Senua's Sacrifice, yeah. I think it's called. Yep. And they consulted with mental health professionals and individuals who experience hallucinations to make sure that, you know, the way that they were portraying it was accurate. But anyway, so my whole point is that there's a symbiotic relationship between mental health and gaming. And with it being Mental Health Awareness Month, I just wanted to take just a few minutes to just kind of, you know, give, you know, applaud really the gaming community and the opportunity that content creators have, like myself and like other great content creators out there, have and utilize their platforms to end the stigma of mental health and mental health treatment. You know, for those of you who might be listening to this podcast and you're somebody who knows somebody or you are somebody who deals with different symptoms of mental health diagnoses out there, I'm a great resource. You can absolutely, you know, reach out to me and ask for resources or even just ask for, hey, do you have any games that you recommend? Or how do you use gaming to lower anxiety or, you know, use it as a coping skill for things? I'm happy to help you. And I'm happy to point you in directions, in the direction of good content creators. There's two that come to mind, three really that come to mind, and I'm going to use my platform on this podcast to
plug away,
advertise for them. The first one is a content creator. Her name is Anxiety. I think that she maybe has done something with Mulehorn before. Maybe I've mentioned her.
You talked about her before.
Yeah, MXIETY, and she is a streamer on Twitch, and she does a podcast where she interviews mental health professionals and different people within the industry who promote good mental health resources. Another one that I would recommend, especially for those of us in Mulehorn Gaming who are familiar with the Destiny community, is Dr. Mick Live. My husband just yelled really loud in the background. Sorry, dog. he's playing a World of Tanks. He's a big gamer. Is Dr. Mick Live. And Dr. Mick Live is also I think he actually is a psychologist, but he also provides mental health counseling. And he will sometimes, like with consent of his viewers, will help somebody find a therapist live. Nice. So that they can access treatment. And then the third resource that I want to share with people is an organization. They are actually officially a nonprofit organization called Guardians Mental Health. They used to be the St. 14 Project. They're also based in the Destiny world, but they have rebranded to Guardians Mental Health, and they are a huge community. And their whole thing is that they connect people who reach out to them with all different types of resources to help establish mental health treatment. They send out these things called mental health kits every quarter or every, like, you know, biannually. I participate mm-hmm. in a charity stream for them where I stream to their channel for like a block, and They have all kind of like, you know, little fidget. I'm looking, you guys can't see me. Well, you guys can, but you guys listening can't see me. I'm looking at my floor because they sent me one. There's Play-Doh. There's like fidget spinners. There's like stuff to just sort of like keep your mind active. I'll wrap up here and just say that the gaming is more than just gaming at this point, right? Like, it's a community. Look at our podcast. Look at like the friendships we've made through Muhorn, and it extends beyond that. And for it's sure. a very good outlet and resource for people who are looking for like-minded folks, whether you're somebody on the autism spectrum or somebody with anxiety or somebody with bipolar disorder. Mental health advocacy and help is here, and we can help you through the gaming community. It's truly amazing. And so that's my spiel. Go ahead.
You don't have to have a mental disability to be looking for help. Like, you could just be having a bad time in your life and just need some help. Like, I've definitely had issue times where I'm just down in the dumps, but and had things in life that just weren't going right. But a lot of the guys in Mulehorn Gaming, few of you included, like, I've talked to you guys and just worked things out, and it helps. Yeah. It helps to talk to someone.
It does. Yep. And thank you for saying that. And, you know, I say that all the time, and I didn't in this spiel, but like, I tell people all the time, you could be like feeling absolutely great and still go to a therapist, because it's just a third person. It's like a third party person to just sort through your stuff with, mm-hmm. even if mm-hmm. like you're the greatest day of your life is happening. It's still nice to have like what I call, I actually said this to my dad today. I was like, just have like a back pocket therapist. Like, you know what? I'm going to go talk to Rachel today. Cause well, you don't, I can't be your therapist, but you know, I tell my clients, like, if you need to just have a good time and you want to just talk out about this great thing that happened to you, that's therapy, baby. So mm-hmm. yep. thank you, Crum. I appreciate you saying that.
You know, I think it's amazing how gaming in general has changed so much from when we were younger to what it is now. Mm-hmm. It's gone through multiple evolutions, and it has become, like you said, a great avenue for individuals to, you know, release stress, to find a happy, comfortable, safe place, and find great people within multiple communities, live, online, and everywhere in between. Gaming has created an amazing platform that has facilitated that. Whereas 20 plus years ago, it was, oh, you're a gamer, you're just completely lazy and do nothing with your life, and what are you doing? Get out there and get outside.
You're going to go blind, turn the TV.
You're going to go blind and whatever. You're just like seen as like, oh, you must be living in someone's basement playing all day. It's not the case at all. But it has evolved so much from, you know, from being on esports to, it's just grown exponentially. But what I still love to this day, and we see within our community from day one to now, and in so many communities and online, is how it helps people to multiple degrees, for people with multiple levels, and any form or fashion, no matter what their background, what they're going through. Yeah. Gaming can usually often provide a great solution, whether you're going through something horrible or just want to share your great day. Gaming is just awesome like that.
It gives people a much more comfortable platform where you can talk with someone in the comfort of your home and still get help.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, with certainly, you know, with the past year and the pandemic, doing things from home has become so much more normalized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of the clients that I'm serving through my private practice are virtual. I mean, I'm telling them like, hey, I don't have an office space right now because we were in the middle of a pandemic. And they're like, great. I love the idea of going to therapy through the comfort of my home. That doesn't mean everybody wants to do that. And I respect that totally. But I do. And again, like, the gaming community has been fostering true, strong friendships for years. You know, there's people I've met through gaming who I am very good friends with, and I hope to be friends with them for many years. And, you know, that counseling can be that way too. And so, so I just wanted to take some time and give a nod to Mental Health Awareness Month, and also give a nod to gaming, and give a nod to their relationship. So,
Awesome topic.
Thank Love you. It.
Yeah, thank you.
You have other gaming things you want to talk about too?
I have a really impromptu thing that I could mention, and yes. Thad would probably jump in. Yes. We have a little bit.
I just see Rad plus gaming. So
I was actually
so make sure I don't cut you off.
No, it was literally mental health and gaming. That was what that was. So I was
use the wrong symbol there. You're using acid for
sorry.
But in today's news,
I was gonna say very briefly. We don't have to take too much time because I know we want to talk about Vogue and Biomutant. But there was a 14-minute Horizon Forbidden West trailer that dropped today, and it was one of the greatest gameplay experiences I've ever seen. There was literally not a moment where I was like, "Eh." I was just like, you know, eyebrows. You guys can't see me right now, but like eyebrows up. Eyes wide, like, for 14 solid minutes.
Video evidence of this, too.
Video evidence of this. You can go to YouTube. After you finish this podcast, you know, go over to my YouTube. You can watch it. But it's great. I can't wait for more info. The only thing I was disappointed at was nothing having to do with gameplay was that we didn't get a release date, and it will not be coming to PC, at least on launch. So, it's fine. But
yeah, I mean, the original was the same thing. And I actually picked up the original not too long ago.
Yeah,
it was on sale for like $25 or something like that. And I do want to play it. Like when the original game first released, I thought it looked very interesting and I wanted to check it out. This you know, just looks like, you know, a further extension of what we already saw. Just much more polished.
Oh,
like,
my
goodness. It's actually insane how much more polished this game is. And I understand, like, it's almost 10 years apart, but still, like, this it's very good looking, yeah. You know?
10 years apart from the original game?
Close, yeah. It was 14, 13?
It was 17.
You know? Like,
17. It was 17.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. So 5 years. Oof. I mean, that's
Lupo's
still...
Lupo's in the future.
Lupo's confused. But yeah, no. But I do remember it about 14, 15 when they started announcing it. And I had the same feeling of like, what's this? Ooh. And now I'm back. Like, I know what this is. Ooh. So it was just really, really great. I will be doing an article on it. So for you guys listening, by the time you listen, you may be able to go over to MuleHornGaming.com, and I'm going to do kind of like reaction to the gameplay. I'm going to break things down. There were some things that we only saw for like split seconds. I'm going to try and freeze frame it and capture it and share it with you guys in an article form. So
I like that.
I'm really, really excited for this. Yeah.
Awesome.
But that's all I got. You're up. Please.
Okay.
Finish the cast.
I don't have too much. So, like, you know, when we were setting things up for the podcast this week, you know, Mule had started playing Biomutant, and I was interested and picked it up myself. So I think that's something I wanted to talk about. Just in a sense, like, so Biomutant was announced a really long time ago, you know, so people were kind of anxiously waiting to see what was going to happen with it. And it's not done by a huge studio. It's done by a studio, Experiment 101. There are 20 people.
Okay.
So for 20 people to make a game that's close to AAA quality, I'd say some of the visuals have like a AAA quality
to them.
I'd say
graphically wise, I'd say AAA quality.
Once you get into the game, you realize why it's not a AAA game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's frustrating because, like, you look at reviews and like, the average review I've been seeing is, like, a 6, you know? And
wow.
I just feel – like 6 is, like, is really harsh in today's era. Like, most games, like, you rarely ever see anything below, like, 8 nowadays, you know?
7 or 8.
It's just people are getting very, very high reviews on things, you know? And to see, like, a 6, like, I had to know because, like, on the surface, you see the game – combat looks very fluid. The world looks super bright. It seems somewhat original. It doesn't seem like a rehash of some other idea that someone else has had.
Mm-hmm.
But the general gist that I've gotten is it's really, really nice on the outside, and you get inside and it's kind of hollow. You know, you have like this great structure and this great idea, and then like the building blocks inside that like hold it together aren't really there, you know. Like it's got some good bones as far as like building an RPG, and the crafting system is actually pretty good, but the dialogue is really weird. So like
yeah, it tripped me out too.
the way they do dialogue is like a character will talk to you in like their gibberish, like animal talk. And then, you know, you have the narrator talk to you as well, but they're not speaking. They're not speaking to you as them. So like, you know, like you would think it's going to say like, I, this or this, that, or you have to do this. It's like, it's like narrating what he's saying to you. So like,
it's like a documentary.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The whole game is like a document. It's narrated like a documentary.
That's
and
odd.
It's very, very frustrating. And then
even just from I saw, like walking up to a vendor, they'll start doing dialogue like, oh, you seem to have come across Lipstick. He's a vendor out in the wild. He might sell you something good if you talk to him right.
Yep.
And then I mean, it's a good voice actor. It's a really good voice actor for all that.
It fits it perfectly
for what they're going for.
But very, very off-putting. Kind of, you're like somewhat immersed, but not immersed. Like, honestly, I'd rather him not be there at all or like be there for the cutscenes, but like have everything delivered in the gibberish voices with subtitles, you know, and just kind of have it that way. I think that would just been would have been better as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of really like weird or rough decisions made over the course of like the development, and you could see why, you know, it took some time and where they tried to cut some corners. I hate to say really bad things about it, but it's not good enough right now to really like draw my attention. And I think if they get enough traction this time and then you come out with a second game, it'll really like do well and take off. It'll take all of like the good things that it does right now and then just make those better and then cut out all the crap that didn't do so well.
Mm-hmm.
The other big issue that I have with it, and this is like a recurring issue that people seem to have, is you don't really know who the audience is. You know, is this directed at lighthearted adults,
mm-hmm.
or is this just blatantly directed towards kids? Because all of the things have really whimsical names, like Floofy Puffs and things like that. So you don't, you're like, where are they going with this? So like, the combat's good. The building of your skill tree and all that kind of stuff is really fun. It's just what is this? Like, why?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I was watching Snake play it last night, and he was like, he got a weapon that was like the Jib Jab stick or something. I was like, what? Okay.
Oh.
All right.
It's like I got the Knuckle Ploofer or something like that today.
The Knuckle Ploofer, huh?
It was like a gauntlet, and he was like punching things.
These sound
like you can do like these
names that would be really bad on Urban Dictionary.
Yes, absolutely.
Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Hold on a sec. Well,
but they
you guys
do cool
keep
things.
Going. I'm gonna look something up.
They do cool things. So like you can like pound the ground and it does like flame attacks. So like there's really cool things about the game, but just the executions is not there. So the real reason why I wanted to bring this up, because we were kind of having the conversation about it last week with the pricing of gaming,
mm-hmm.
for something like this where it's not a AAA studio, but it's a AAA publisher. You know, this is THQ Nordic. You know, they're putting out top quality games. And I don't think that this is a poor quality game. But where do you draw the line of saying, hey, this is a new studio, and I think before you slap that premium AAA price tag on it, how do we judge what that price tag should be? Like,
yeah, because last
week some indie games throw $40 price tag at you, and you're like, "All right, this is cool. I think I would be interested in playing a $40 game." You know, even if it's not AAA quality, if it's AA quality, I don't even know if that's actually a thing. If it's AA quality, I'll pay the $40 for it. You know, and maybe get that diamond in the rough. You know, instead of paying $60 and maybe being slightly disappointed, because that's the general consensus I'm getting from a lot of people playing this game, is that they're pretty disappointed with the overall, not like there's very good things in it, but like the overall,
the game as a
approach
whole.
And yeah, and then it just kind of is, you know,
they like the burger but the bun and the fries aren't so great and the soda's a little
exactly.
flat.
Like the meat is seasoned really well, you know, but all of the things that go with it, like, you know, maybe the fries were not fresh.
So salted. It's basically like well. In and out.
Yeah.
You're texting Jeb's.
The burger is kind of okay. The fries, what? These aren't fries. But if you put enough animal sauce on it, you might be able to eat it.
Hey, there you go.
So
I think if you're eating In-N-Out without animal sauce, you're doing something wrong.
But isn't that part of the problem?
No. Like, it's part of the experience.
This product is not good. Don't
so
eat
here
it.
I am just completely negating everything I just said.
Don't eat it unless you're getting like, animal sauce.
Don't eat it. We cannot recommend eating this unless it has animal
I don't know,
sauce.
Like, what are you guys thoughts on like just how do you define the value of that game? You know, a relatively new studio trying to get into the space. You maybe may or may not be a you know published by a major publisher.
I was gonna
What do they do to help? Like I think like and this goes back to our conversation last season about Game Pass, and even Todd Howard said this in the Bethesda acquisition. Is this if a game like this was on Game Pass, everybody would be playing it and not complaining about it.
Yeah,
for sure. And like when this released this week, I was actually looking. I was like, oh, is this on Game Pass? Like, because I was like. I jumped into Snake's stream yesterday, and I was like, I've been seeing a little bit on this. I watched Watts play it for a while. She was really enjoying it. And I went into... I was like, oh, hey, Snake's streaming. I can chat with him, ask him about it more. And I was like, okay, Snake, why do I need this game? Sell me on it. And he's like, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, okay, thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
And I watched playing it, and I'm like... Okay, I've got enough stuff right now. I don't need this for $60. And it's the opposite of what we were talking about last week. Like last week, we're like, okay, anything more than $60 is not okay. This week, we're like, certain things should be lower. And I liked Lupo's like comment, and I kind of had a theory that I kind of worked up in just talking about this. Like maybe. They should have a rating system like AA, AAA, single A, where you have to not necessarily get those ratings, but maybe like approve for those ratings to sell at certain price points. So smaller studios, maybe like a AA, you can do like 45 to 50.
We certainly couldn't base it on Metascore because that gets trolled a lot by people who are just...
Well, not necessarily Metascore.
It'll
like,
never be an aggregate Metascore now.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is that like I think the first thing that came to mind for me there is like when Far Cry New Dawn came out, and that's by a AAA studio, but it was a $40 game. And so, like, and I think that was mostly because of the length and the size of it. and so I think that Lupo's shaking his head. Nobody can see him, but he's doing it. But I think that... I think it has to be more based on those two things. I'm not going to say them again. Just how long the game is and sort of like the content, you know, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to make a terrible
the
joke.
The girth and the
reach. I was going to say the girth of the content. Thank you, Crow. You said it, so I can say it. I think it's hard. I think I said this last time when we were having the discussion, at least about Game Pass. I think that how Game Pass and other... services like Game Pass, because there are going to be more, how those continue to help games like this will determine how studios are going to do it. So I think, unfortunately for Biomutant, it's kind of coming out at a time where it can't get away with a price like this, but it also wasn't on Game Pass. So like, what are you going to do with it? But
it's also
coming
out like, two or three weeks before E3, and it's like
it's a rough
not great. Yeah. But it's I think as we all agreed last time, it's a really kind of complicated conversation because there's a lot of variables in terms of even just when you throw it, this is not in the case of Biomutant, but when you have a game, we'll use Far Cry as an example because they're doing a lot of gameplay show tomorrow. When you throw a name like Ubisoft on a title, it's $60. I mean, in most cases, you know. So if it's a full length game, so it's complicated. I think
after watching the gameplay and hearing this conversation about it, it kind of reminds me of ReCore. I don't recall what the prize point was for that.
$60.
$60, yeah. bucks, I think.
It was a fun
and it
game.
I thought Record
was only like 40.
No, I think originally it was 60 because it was original game for the Xbox One.
Yeah, there were certain elements about that were great, but it was empty in other areas.
Yeah,
but see, like Recore wasn't necessarily like a true indie developer though.
That's fair.
If I remember correctly, it was done by Keiji Inafune, which is like the original creator of Mega Man X. I remember that correctly,
okay. Sounds right.
That's why I was so interested in it.
It also had like Microsoft Studios attached to it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Mm. But like, think about if that was Game Pass then, you know, 10 years ago or seven years ago, whatever it was, 13, 14.
Yeah.
Like that, I think more people would have played that game.
I fully agree with you.
I played maybe like 2 or 3 hours of that
game. I played that game because it was on Game Pass when I finally decided to play it. And that's what I'm saying. I think that as the science, if you will, of a Game Pass type service becomes more clear and more defined, games like Biomutant will always be on a Game Pass service because that company probably will make as much money by putting it on a Game Pass service than the way that they're doing it now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like, and that actually would then beg the question: like, is there some sort of incentive for how many times it's downloaded?
I'm probably.
I would venture a guess that that's probably how they're getting paid.
Hmm.
Something like that.
I could see that.
I'm sure.
Because you're not going to give somebody like massive amounts of money up front.
No.
For them to make up the loss of total of base sales, you know? So maybe they get obviously they get the royalty rights of having that being played, you know, but I would venture a guess there's probably something else there. And I hate thinking about the money aspect of games when we are always talking about it. I just want to play games and have fun. And, you know, and I just like my closing thought on this whole thing is just I really picked a bad year to commit to playing new games more frequently.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, because I mean, like, Outriders was good, but not $60 good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Concur.
Yeah.
Biomutant is okay, not $50 okay, $60 okay. And I'm looking forward to Scarlet Nexus coming out next month, and I am fearing that it's not going to be worth the $60 price tag for it.
You know what was worth the $60 price tag, Lupo?
What's that?
Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Yeah.
Facts.
That actually was. But that's not a new game.
I know.
You know?
But I'm trying to give you some end on a good note.
Yeah, it's the silver lining of buying new games this year. I've bought a whole lot of old games. Like I rebought Borderlands 3 again, which just is actually going crossplay this week.
You know, if you would an endorsement, it's $60 currently. Actually, no, it's $50. Truly a good $50 purchase for you since you've not played it. Actually, maybe you already have it. I'm talking out of my booty right now, but play Horizon Zero Dawn. Totally worth your money and time.
I own it.
There you go.
Well,
play it anyway. Better it's...
I will. Eventually, I will
okay.
play it.
Thank you.
At some point when all these other games are not consuming my time.
I understand.
I think either way, you're going to play before Mule does. So.
Yeah.
Hurt. Oh, easily.
He's missing out,
quite frankly. I think Mule's the only one on the cast who hasn't played it.
He gave it a go.
He gave it the
best
try.
I can understand him not playing Witcher more than like Horizon Zero Dawn is like a great paced game. There's like nothing wrong with it. Well, he's silly, and that's
he's
the end of the cast.
Silly guy, him mule.
That mule
dude,
horn,
bro.
So, does anybody else have any more closing thoughts before?
I mean, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Vogue. If you guys wanted to.
I don't know if we have time. Could we save it for next week? We'll have more runs in.
We could.
There we go. Make it meaty.
I think would be good.
More girth
have more time.
Yeah.
For
I think
sure.
we Yeah, we'll talk about next week.
Okay. Fair. So
look forward
with
to that.
That said. What's up?
So look forward to that next week.
Yeah.
Yes. So with that, if you like the podcast, make sure to visit mulehorngaming.com on the About page to find more great podcasts like the Bendu podcast that airs every other Friday on YouTube.
Yes.
If you're looking for ways to support the podcast, check out our description below for our Epic Creator Code if you're listening on YouTube. Also the Amazon store, swag, and more. You can like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes, and you can follow us all on Twitter. And remember, when in doubt,
bring it up.
Explosions!
I should go.